This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Hannon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Fernando by The Baseball Project from their terrific first album, Volume 1, Frozen Ropes and Dying Quails. A tribute to Fernando Valenzuela, bringing that back out today as Fernando died yesterday.
Do you remember Fernando?
I do. I don't remember Fernando Mania as well. I was vaguely aware of baseball that season. It was really the next season was the year I got into baseball, the year of the Cardinals-Brewers series. Fernando Mania was the previous year. It was the year that ended up being the Dodgers-Yankees, I think, that year. So Fernando was still a great player after that 1 year, but he was less of a sensation after that 1 year. So, yeah, Fernando Valenzuela was one of the best pitchers, you know, of the first era of me following baseball.
All right, Grizzlies open up tonight, obviously, at Utah. Would you rather have it be a home opener? Like, do you want the opener to be the home opener? Or you feel strongly about this? And honestly, you don't want it to be late. Like, this isn't a great opener, right? It's what do you think?
I don't feel strongly about it, but yeah, if you just let me choose, I would choose the opener to be a home opener. So yeah, I like, you know, having the festivities of starting the season at home. But you know, them's the breaks.
It's funny, cause I was looking it up. The Grizzlies have in home openers, they've not been good, generally speaking. And I can't really remember. I don't have road openers that are sticking in my head. Openers all time. Which ones stick out to you?
I remember them getting. I don't remember whether it was the season opener or just a road opener. It must have been a season opener because otherwise I wouldn't remember it. I just remember them going to Miami and just getting smashed early in the season in the not too distant past. There was a stretch there where they were like, it was sort of a thing, like there was just get hammered every opener or whatever. I mean, the one I remember most, I think it was the first game, the first official game, the first regulation game at FedEx Forum was QB. I think it was the second year of QB as the coach, and it was against the Washington, maybe, I don't know whether they were already the Wizards or whatever they were, the Washington basketball team, and they were missing like most of their roster. And right. Just got hammered, and it was like, I remember being in the post-game press conference, and QB was like, Chris Mim killed us. It's like he was, you know, Chris Mim.
So tonight it's going to be Utah. Obviously, we've seen the J.J.'s going to be out, Vince is going to be out, Gigi's going to be out, Luke Kennard's going to be out, Cam Spencer's going to be out. I guess you're presuming that Santi Aldama will start?
I mean, that's what they've been doing. Right. A, that's what they've been doing in the preseason, and B, that's what makes sense. So, yeah, I assume that's what's going to happen.
And that's disappointing. I mean, it just is. We know now that Joel Embiid and Paul George are going to miss the Sixers opener. That's worse. Like, there's worse out right there. It is a little deflating, isn't it, to see this raft of injuries?
We hadn't, coming off the season they just had, and then with, you know, the suggestion had been, and maybe they were just being optimistic because they were skittish about the reaction to injury stuff. The suggestion had been up until like 2 days ago or whatever that, you know, Jaren was going to play. It was good that Ja came back and played the last preseason game. Like, that was encouraging, right? Him and Marcus Smart had been out and they came back and played. But then, like, you know, the little delay with Jaren is a little deflating. You know, I've heard people complain about, you know, some of the depth stuff. They are missing four guys, right? And so, you're going to have injuries. Last year, they were missing like nine guys most of the time. But if you're missing four or five, you know, of your projected rotation, any team in the league, you're going to wonder about your depth. I think the Grizzlies' depth is okay. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's terrible. I think it's in sort of the middle of the pack range among contending teams. But like, when you take away one starter or three other like core bench players, and suddenly it doesn't look as good.
Well, and whatever Gigi was, they're missing three of their top eight, right? I mean, certainly.
Yeah.
With you know, there's so I mean that makes it a little bit tricky. What do you imagine the rotation will be? So all right, so if we got our starters, if those are our starters, what's it going to look like off the bench?
Well, when you're losing one or two players, you have a lot of questions about what you're going to do. When you start missing like four, there are fewer questions.
Jalen Wells is a question, though. Like, are we getting
I know. Not if they're playing 10 deep, I don't know. Like, maybe there's one question there because I think they'll play a 10-man rotation. And so we just talked about the starters. And so, you know, Brandon Clark, Scottie Pippen. And then it's probably like Conchar, LaRavia, and Jalen Wells. And there's your 10. Now, they could play Jay Huff. They could play Jay Huff and not one of those guys. That is the only question, really.
Yeah, it gets a little dicey there. All right, and they're playing a Jazz team. And as I said earlier, the Jazz team is sort of interesting. I mean, they're obviously tanking. They're obviously rebuilding. They have...
They're not tanking yet. They're going to be tanking. They won't be tanking tonight.
No, they will not be tanking tonight. But as a season, as the enterprise right. the season, they are not one of your aspiring playoffs teams. But they do have, and this goes to the not tanking, in Markkanen, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, Walker, like they've got they're sort of on two different timelines. They've got this veteran group there, and they've got like a dozen first round draft picks in the past 2 years. I exaggerate, but they've got from just the last 2 years, Taylor Hendricks, Kante George, Bryce Sensabaugh, Cody Williams, Isaiah Collier, and then Kyle Filipowski wasn't a first, but he was a first pick of the second round. They got all these young kids, but they also have this veteran group. Interesting.
Yeah, if I'm the Grizzlies, I welcome them playing all those young high draft picks. I'm worried about Lauri Markkanen and Colin Sexton is what I'm worried about. The most talented team that Utah Jazz will put on the floor this season will be the team they put on the floor tonight. As far as I know, there are no major injuries. They have not begun the tanking. They have not traded anybody away yet. In March, like Colin Sexton may be playing for somebody else. But right now, he's playing for the Utah Jazz against the Memphis Grizzlies.
All right, so there we go. We did have games last night, and I don't know how much you caught of either of them. Celtics absolutely pound the Knicks. Sort of interesting, 29 threes, and the Knicks are built. All these wing players, these long wing players who can guard and whatever else, and they rain 29 threes down upon their heads.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics shot in a way that they just weren't going to lose that game. And it was better than it looked because the basketball gods intervened in the last 8 minutes and, kept the nonsense from happening, you know, when they were just literally forcing up three after three after three to set a record. And the basketball gods said, thank you, and I appreciate that. but until that point, it was just ridiculous in the first half. And part of that was, was Knicks defense. And part of that was just, I went back and actually looked at, the Jason Tatum shots today. He's making shots. He made shots where he was stepping into space. He also made shots with, Mikal Bridges all over him, you know. And he was just making shots. I think, you know, there's maybe some degree of commonality between the two games in terms of, you know, the Knicks and the Wolves made this trade. And it may take them time to get a level of comfort with the new stuff they're doing. Maybe preseason wasn't that helpful, which maybe is a note of caution for the Memphis Grizzlies in terms of new stuff. But the Celtics were just, the Celtics just might be the best team in the league again, and so that's that. But the way they shot last night, I mean, nobody's beaten that.
Right. We did start to see, we saw Kat. Quiet night. And then we saw Julius Randle on Minnesota. Early thoughts? How either looked?
I'm not a big Julius Randle guy. And so if you look at the box score, Julius Randle seemed like he did okay. Like he had one of the better box scores in the game. But I don't, the Randle Gobert fit is hinky. I don't like it. They got time to make it work, or they got time to separate it out and give them less time on the floor together. I do still like the Dante DiVincenzo thing for them. You know, Mike Conley had one of those games where you look at the box score and you say, oh, no, Mike Conley, are we at the end of the road here?
Right.
He's had games like that in the last two seasons, and then you look up the end of the year, and it's like, oh, Mike Conley had a great year. Of course, one of these years it's going to be like, the bottom has fallen out of this 38-year-old or 37-year-old or whatever small point guard. Time will tell on that. But I think having DiVincenzo gives them other options. They're not quite as reliant. But I think the Randle thing, Randle is a guy who just likes to play with the ball a lot, likes to have the ball in the middle of the floor, and making that fit well in a lineup with both Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert, I think, is tricky. And so it's something they have to figure out. I think the talent level in Minnesota is very high, but there's stuff they have to sort out.
And then they extended Gobert 3 years, 110. Thoughts?
Yeah, and part of that extension is I think his salary next season is going to decline by about $12 million. It's a renegotiated extend, right. It's not just an extend. And I think given their tax issues, it's like, you know, let's save ourselves however many more millions of that in tax, and we'll, you know, give you extra time on the back end. And so I think that's a pretty rational deal for everyone involved, probably. The other part of that game is that Anthony Edwards was just awesome. Anthony Davis was just awesome. Minnesota might have just still come back and won that game if Anthony Davis wasn't playing at MVP level down the stretch.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, you don't have to be reminded of this. You say it all the time. It's just one game. Like, you know, like both of these were like Celtics got crazy hot and AD was great. And honestly, if the Lakers were fresh every night, I would like their chances a lot more, right? Like if AD was,
right. Yeah.
Of course, how many games you had in a recent piece? He played more than 70 games
Anthony Davis and LeBron both played, in fact, Davis may have been a career high games. I can't remember, but they were both like higher. They played more games last year than they have in a long time. Both of them.
Davis played 76. So
we'll see on that.
Davis played 76. That's unbelievable. I mean, honestly,
the thing about Anthony, the thing about Anthony Davis is he was supposed to be what Giannis Antetokounmpo and Nikola Jokic became. The multiple MVP,
right,
lead a team to a title. And he won a title, but he didn't lead a team to a title. Lead a team to a title, franchise big man, generational big man. He was supposed to be that. And he has not quite been that. But he's so capable of being that on any given night, you know?
Yeah, what did you call him? The occasional, the sporadic superstar? You had a phrase.
Something like that. It wasn't the part-time superstars. That meant a better ring.
It's a better word. Yeah, it has a better ring to it. Yeah. I do think your point about this cautionary tale of we saw two teams that had some figuring out to do last night lose last night. And the Grizzlies, both by dint of the fact that they, you know, this group hasn't played together. They've got new pieces, but then they have this new system. Like, that could be a thing, too. I don't, you know, a cautionary tale over these. The schedule of the first 10 games is soft, but maybe it's a good thing that it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's soft, but there's a lot of back-to-back. It's all sort of compressed together. So you get a lot of games squeezed in when you don't have all your pieces. And, we'll see what happens. But tonight, I sort of wonder if tonight's a game where, like you don't have it all together, but you have Ja Morant and Desmond Bane.
Right.
And maybe you just need to, like, those guys just go out and win a basketball game, you know?
And it's been nice to see Ja in the preseason. It was nice to see him in the last game. But, you know, to see Ja for, you know, a full game being Ja it's remarkably fun. So I look forward to that.
I mean, he's going to step out of the floor tonight, and he's going to have, like, probably either Keontae George or Colin Sexton or Jordan Clarkson guarding him.
Right, yeah.
Like, let's eat, Ja. Time to feast again.
It is time to feast again. All right, you also write about the movies, films, and I was intrigued. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 50th anniversary. It's at the drive-in as a double feature, and the way I have not seen it and the way you described it, I will certainly never see it.
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd ever seen that, because that was, you know, time-wise, that may have been in the period of life where maybe you would have gone to something like that.
Yeah, never in a million years will I go see that movie. How would you describe Texas? You've seen it once, I take it?
Yeah, and I think once is enough, but like, it's great. In some ways, it's great for what it is. It's not just like they're showing a bunch of gory stuff on the screen. There's something really eerie and artful and unsettling about it that is a byproduct of not just what is being shown, but how.
Yeah.
Like, I think it has a deserved reputation as a really, like, interesting piece of filmmaking. But it's the rare sort of, like, maybe it's a great film, but it's a great film that's, like, deeply unpleasant. And, like, those things don't go together very often,
right,
you know? So it's kind of a rare thing, a rare creature in that regard. And so I have no appetite to go see it again. But if you told me you got to go, you got to see it again, I think the drive-in is how I would do it, right? So it's a little bit less claustrophobic. It's just a little like eerie, like you're out in the middle, out in the, right. You know. Yeah, I think it's a good, to be clear, it can be a good vibe. Like the drive-in seems like the way to go with that. It's also showing in other theaters too, like this week. But the drive-in is what I would do if I were to do that, which I will not.
Is Long Legs the film that is being shown with it? Is that right?
Yeah, Long Legs is also getting a re-release in theaters generally. You can see both those movies all over the place this week, but you can see them together at the drive-in.
I see.
And Long Legs to me is like, you know, it was a sort of a horror/thriller hit this summer. I think it's actually quite good. It's a little bit more like mysterious, menacing than gory. I think it has. I think that movie is good. It sort of falls apart at the end to me, but I like Long Legs.
Other films you discuss, Conclave.
Yeah, there's some counter programming to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
What is Conclave?
It's a new drama. It's among the movies that's been most touted as a Best Picture Oscar contender. And it's about the unexpected death of a pope and the cardinals at the Vatican, sort of the internal politics at the Vatican to name a new pope. And it's sort of this, like, you know, behind the scenes political drama, but it's about naming a new pope, not like, you know, a new president. And Ralph Fiennes stars as the cardinal in charge of the process.
Well reviewed.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, it's just now coming out, but yes, right. the early word is good on Conclave.
And then the last one is a re-release of The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Where is that?
Yeah, that's just a one-off screening. Crosstown Theater has been doing the Halloween-themed screenings all month, and so they're showing that actually Saturday afternoon. There is also a record swap going on at Crosstown Concourse Saturday afternoon, so I'm going to be back in town, and my plan is to go to the record swap and then go see Creature in the Black Lagoon, which I've actually never seen. There's some easy cultural literacy I can pick up, and then go see the Grizzlies play. So I got my Saturday planned out.
Well, that is a plan. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. He wants Ja to eat. That seems reasonable. I do think, particularly given the diminished cast, I mean, that bench is pretty thin.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a little hero ball tonight.
A little hero ball tonight from Ja and Dez. And then we get, I'll be interested to see how many minutes Zach Edey plays.
Yep. Who he's deployed with.
Who he's deployed with. Of course, it's all screwed up because we're missing players. But
the injuries.
But there you go. All right, we got Sam Hardiman coming up next. He'll tell us about what's happening in the city. I will remind you, as we talk about the NBA returning, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. Maybe the Celtics are just the best team in the league. Like, we saw them just destroy the Knicks last night. But to me, it is interesting. We don't consider them some super team, Jeffrey, you know?
No, I think
because maybe we should.
There's a homegrown element. I understand that they've made deals, but it's almost like, because they assembled the team organically rather than just some guys paired up and decided they want to go play in Boston.
They traded for a bunch of it, but yes.
Right, but my point is, like, no one teamed up and said,
they don't have one of the best five players in the league, or what, they don't have the LeBron, like, whatever.
Correct.
Like, well, maybe Jason Tatum is, but, you know, he's not the superstar around all what you, everything spins, you know, that sort of. So, but anyway, my point is, I love what appears to be the parody of the league this year. It's a reason why League Pass seems like it would be
certainly in the West
fascinating this year. And if you're over at FanDuel, they will give all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is place a $5 bet on the NBA. That's it. And then you got 3 months free of League Pass. And you can sample it all. If you're new to FanDuel, just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to get those 3 months of NBA League Pass. Or if you're already there, make a $5 bet in the NBA and get 3 months of League Pass free. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime, no refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. And the promo code again is Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Sam Hardiman, when we return, it's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman, of course, writes for the Daily Memphian. Writes about the city for the Daily Memphian. He has been busy as of late. Sam's always busy. Always stuff going on. Let's see, Sam. I had a story. I talked to Richard Smith from FedEx about downtown, and you actually had news about downtown. Kind of nice, hopeful news about downtown, or at least some news about tax dollars in downtown that you put up yesterday. What's the news?
Yeah, Jeff. So there is a very boring civic contraption, I will call it, known as the Downtown Tourism Development Zone. And that tourism development zone is for the first time since the pandemic. And what this is it captures sales tax growth in downtown Memphis. Okay?
And what does it fund?
Yeah, that sales tax, why do we care? Well, that sales tax growth funds the debt on Bass Pro, the pyramid, and it funds the 2011 purchase that the city of Memphis made to buy out Shelby County's interest in the Renaissance Convention Center. People may not know this, but the Convention Center was once belonged to the city and the county. In order to buy the county out, the city created this downtown tourism development zone expansion. They put it on that credit card, and that is what all the growth in downtown Memphis pays for to this day. And so, yes, this is the first year since the pandemic it recovered. Yes.
So previously, you owe the debt on Bass Pro and on this convention center thing every year, and if there's not enough taxes generated, then you're reaching in to pay this out of the general fund or something? Is that what's been happening since the pandemic?
That is what's been happening, except it was not the general fund. The city of Memphis, like cities across the country, were bailed out by Uncle Sam. And Uncle Sam, throughout the past 3-4 years, has been footing the bill through the American Rescue Plan Act.
I see. That's convenient. Okay. So, but what it suggests is, because it's not tax money generated just by the convention center or Bass Pro. What it suggests is that revenues generally spent, money spent downtown has been going up, right? Generally speaking, in this zone, and that's a good thing, whether it's on whatever, food or merchandise.
It's exactly right. That means it's been outpacing Shelby County as a whole, because the growth that you get, and this is, I'm really bored by it too, everybody.
I find this to be interesting, because we have this, downtown is a hellscape, nobody's there. And what's nice is it's actually, the revenue spent downtown for the last year was up. That's just math.
It was up, that's right. And let's keep in mind, the revenues downtown being up in a year where the Grizzlies were not very good as well.
They were not.
So this is not just like people going to the games and having a good time. They were not good. And so it really is, it shows, and I live downtown now, and one of the things I've been struck by since living downtown, living there for the past 6 weeks, is like there are just a lot of foreign tourists. There are just a lot of people from other countries who have come to see Graceland and Sun Studios and staying at the nice boutique hotels downtown. And that is probably where a lot of this growth is coming from.
It's funny, because one of the things that Richard Smith said when I was talking to him was, he said he has debates with people about, when we look back at the perceived momentum of 2019 or 2000, whatever it is, that 2010, that stretch, the Believe Memphis grit grind, downtown is hop, you know, choose 901, all of that stuff. What was the real momentum? It was a real economic growth, or was that fake? Like, what really came to fruition of the projects that were imagined during that period? And one of the things he said was, you can argue that either way. A lot of things didn't come to fruition. But the density was real. The people being on the streets, that was real. There's obviously a need to bring that back. And it's nice that this latest news is some indication that it is bouncing back. My further question is, by the way, and I have a rule on this show that people aren't allowed to ask me questions that I don't know the answer to. And Jeffrey knows that rule. But I'm going to ask you questions, and I don't know if you know the answer to this. How long are we going to be paying for Bass Pro and the Convention Center?
The Convention Center we're going to be paying because there are other bond issuances for that renovation. That goes until 2048. For Bass Pro, those bonds expire in 2031, which is also, and if you read this article, you will note the inclusion of some paragraphs that I put in there. It expires in 2031. But the downtown TDZ itself, this capturing of sales tax, which is both state and local sales tax that gets captured.
Yep.
Essentially, what needs to happen for it to be extended is the state of Tennessee says, we don't want our 7% local option sales tax generated in downtown Memphis, which comes to a large part of this $20 million, about $17 million a year. We don't want that for another long period of time. You guys can have it for more economic development, because that's what the state agreed to when they created this TDZ. The city of Memphis recently asked that the downtown Sheridan be added to the downtown tourism development zone as a qualified public use facility. Another very boring acronym here that essentially means that growth in this zone could go towards that. So that $20 million I just spoke about that's paying the debt on the convention center and the Bass Pro could also maybe be used to pay debt on the Sheridan. Well, if you're going to renovate a hotel and you want to pay those bonds over a long period of time, you don't need something that expires in 2031. You need something that would last. And so it would stand to reason that the city of Memphis might ask the state of Tennessee to extend this TDZ. And so that the debt we're talking about in the future is maybe the Sheridans or something else.
I see.
Something on Mud Island, potentially. And that is, you know, a big thing to watch going forward.
It has been interesting to me to watch the hotel discussion around the hotel, like in the comments to our stories and everything. There's a lot of blowback. I perceive there to be a lot of unhappiness. Like, why are we buying a hotel? You know, there seems to be a lot of that sentiment there. We can't even do, you know, we'll name the thing we can't do. And then that's a sentiment I hear a lot of. But what's been interesting to me to watch is that even the skeptics of the hotel purchasing plan on city council, like everyone ultimately was won over because they acknowledged we can't have this giant ass empty hotel across from the convention center. Like it was, and I'm not asking you to weigh on the merits of the deal because that's not what you do, but it's been interesting to see that the people who had to vote on it ultimately were certainly persuaded of the merits of this deal. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It was interesting.
Yeah.
That's my take.
That's your take. Thanks. One of the nice things is the level of discipline that you show, Sam, that I lack completely. When we talk about these things, you draw that firm line between reporter and a columnist, and I appreciate that. So moving right along, we get to MATA. When we last spoke, let's see what had happened. Last week, the MATA board had been sacked. A new board had been put in place. That's where the drama stood last week. What has since happened?
What has since happened is that the cuts that were planned for MATA service levels have been paused by the new MATA board. And Mayor Paul Young has essentially said to this board, yeah, if you're not going to cut service, because the reason they were cutting service is they didn't have money. Mayor Young has said to the board, and he said so in an email to interim MATA CEO Bakar Malden yesterday, we will find you the money. We will work with the city council and find money to keep MATA afloat. And essentially what is happening is all these, you know, horrific cost cuts and this sort of really embarrassing episode from like a Memphis civic standpoint. I mean, people are asking, like, you're about to gut your bus system? My goodness, what's happening, right? Well, it seems like the city of Memphis is just stepping in with the checkbook, which they do, as we know, they do not have an unlimited checkbook.
Right.
But the city of Memphis is sort of stepping in here and saying, well, we're going to make sure that this thing doesn't go down the tubes. We've replaced the board. We're gonna find extra money. And like people, if they haven't been reading our reporting, please go to dailymemphian.com, subscribe, donate, etc. Read our reporting on this. A key fact that people really need to understand is like the city of Memphis, beyond the board, they don't really have any statutory control over MATA. The mayor replaced the board. That's what he can do. But they have been functioning. They have essentially been saying, Matt, we are your biggest funder. Every 2 weeks, you're going to show us the invoices. You're going to show us the payroll. And then we're going to cut you a check out of the money we pass in our budget for you. That money, as we reported at the Daily Memphian this past weekend, is already half gone. So the city has essentially allocated $30 million for MATA this past year. There's only $14 million left, probably about $12 million left when we get through the end of October here. The mayor essentially said yesterday they're going to go find more money for MATA. And so what we're really talking about here is the city of Memphis has really stepped up and said we're not going to let MATA fail and we're going to invest in it more. That comes with a cost, and where that money comes from is really going to be interesting to see.
By the way, that $30 million was supposed to get you until, you say it's half gone. It was supposed to get you to when?
It was supposed to get you to, you rephrase the question, Jeff, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, if you said you gave $30 million, it's already half gone. Well, if it was just supposed to last you till January 1, that would not be so troublesome. Like, in other words, the $30 million... Was it?
But it was supposed to last you until July, okay. June 30th of next
year. The next
year.
Budget. Yeah,
yes.
I see. Right. Okay. That's what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. And so do we know how much more they're going to be needing? And they've paused these cuts. It's weird. I mean, I read the stories and it's like, okay, they were proposing all these cuts. And yet already the number of buses was deficient. The number of buses on the sidelines because they couldn't be repaired was excessive. Like, It just sounds like a mess, all of this. So do we know how much this is going to cost and what the path to fixing it looks like?
It's going to cost more than, I mean, we're talking probably well more than $10 million.
Right.
At least. I mean, it really depends. I mean, you right now, MATA is in such straits that, like, some vendors won't provide parts because they haven't been paid for previous parts they provided, right? Like, creditors are essentially saying, no, we don't want to help you. And so that all has to get fixed out before you even get the buses. Like, Matt is operating right now with about 51, 52 buses, depending on what official you ask.
Yeah.
Could be 54, could be 51. To get to 60-plus, they need to repair a bunch of other buses. And then you're not even at the 74 that fully functional Matt is supposed to be having. And so there's a long way to go here before, like, what the service Matt is supposed to be providing is even going to be up to what it's been promising. And yeah, that's going to cost probably tens of millions of dollars, and it's going to be on the city of Memphis to either fund it or find it. And that's going to be really interesting to see.
I thought I saw in the piece that it said the trolley operators have been hired back. Now, I understand in the world of public transportation, the trolleys are a luxury relative to a reliable bus system, right? But did that mean that the trolleys are going to... Did I not read that sentence in the piece?
You read the sentence, yeah. I quoted Eric Stevenson, the chief administrative officer for MATA, that all but, I think, four of the trolley operators have been hired back, he says. What I would say is the trolleys are not dead. When they come back to life, I do not know, but they are likely not dead.
The trolleys are not dead. Well, that's a hopeful the whole thing. This has been such an upbeat segment, starting with the tax revenues going up, and now we learn that the trolleys are not dead. It's like Drake May. It's like the Pats fan. That things may be grim on many fronts. Your team may be soft. Isn't that what Gerard Mayo called them? Soft and everything else. But there's hope. And by the way, shout out to your dad, who's a Yankees fan and is going to be able to go to the World Series. That's just wonderful, isn't it?
That is just wonderful. I'm very happy for him. He has been very happy the past few days. Guy raised on Mickey Mantle, for the first time, gets to go see a World Series game. It's really cool. I'm happy for him in his retirement that he gets to do this.
That's
not everyone gets
best.
To, and it's just wonderful,
yeah.
You know?
All right, Sam, I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Goodbye, Jeff.
Yes, on Twitter, at Sam Hardiman. I will tell you, by the way, we talk about, fiscal responsibility and all of that stuff. Well, my recent act of fiscal responsibility, Claire and I, we went and Claire set up an account at Leaders Credit Union. That's what we did. We're like, why don't we operate with a credit union that operates purely for the benefit of its members? That makes sense to us. It's the technology is going to be fabulous. The service is going to be fabulous because they don't have to, you know, worry about the corporate overlords. They're literally every dollar is plowed right back into better technology, better service, better rates. You know, we're going to be getting the best of all of that. And so walked right into the to the branch office in Bartlett and set up an account. So whether you're looking for a new financial institution or a home loan or a car loan or whatever it is, I would suggest you look into Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN to learn more. Going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I was thinking of how long the Grizzlies have been here. They were getting to be a Memphis institution, Jeffrey, wouldn't you say? The Grizzlies are getting to be a Memphis institution.
Indeed.
They got a ways to go before they catch Old Call.
They most certainly
do. They got a ways to go before they catch Old Call. But here's the thing, though. You know, if you're walking into that home opener on Monday, particularly if you got good seats in the lower bowl, you want to be looking your best, right? Get yourself to that other Memphis institution, Old Call. I really do. Like, I just love shopping at Old Call. I love wearing stuff from Old Call. I love talking to the people at Old Call. I love them telling me what I should, what would look good on me. I love listening to their suggestions. Clothes are absolutely beautiful. And right now, I've been telling you, they've got the hoodies and the quarter zips all in official collegiate colors as football season rolls on. But in addition to that, whether it's a new sport coat, whether it's a new outerwear, whether it's a new Steel down jacket, which I have, absolutely beautiful, this would be a great time to get in and make sure this new season you are looking your best by visiting that other Memphis institution, the folks at Old Call. Jeffrey, do you have any predictions tonight? How you feeling? I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous because I want them to get off to a rollicking start. But I'm going to say 36 points for Ja in a victory.
I mean, I know you've pointed out, like, what, on openers? Is it home openers? Or
the problem is I was just Googling. I should have had that number. I know
that used to be.
I should have had the number. The home opener number is bad. Although it was, there was a bunch of years where they, like, lost every home opener.
Correct.
So I couldn't, just for a quick Google during the break, I couldn't see their.
I'm going to say Ja comes out and has a big night.
I think Ja's going to have a big night. Like, who are they? Who do they have who's going to be guarding Ja? They don't. And Ja's going to have a big night. He's been waiting for this moment. Dez looks fresh. We already saw Zach Edey dominate Walker Kessler.
Yeah, come on. Let's just continue.
You know, just hammering him. We already saw that. Maybe, I think this is, Santi Aldama is sort of the forgotten Grizz, you know?
Yeah.
And he could have a big
that
year.
That could actually be like the title of his career.
He could have a big. Well, the funny thing, of course, about Santi was, what kind of stupid pick was that? Like, that was the reaction, right, when the pick was made, right?
Right.
And then there was this whole, people were trying to sell you, no, someone else was going to grab him. Someone else was going to grab him. Then it was, oh, my God, Santi's really good. You know what? If you just remember that whole era where is that, if the Grizzlies had just drafted Santi where they drafted Zaire and yep. Zaire where they drafted, no one would be complaining.
Correct.
You still got and then there was the Santi plateau where Santi just didn't take the step that you wanted him to take. But last year was a total mess. And this year, the system seems like a good fit for Santi. And it is a contract year for Santi. Maybe Santi is going to be your secret weapon Grizz this year.
Secret agent, man.
Yeah. So, and then it is absolutely true, and Chris pointed this out. Utah literally, this is one of the problems with playing a team that is going to be tanking this early.
You'd rather play them much later in the year.
When they're in full tank.
Well, remember last year they got off to like a pretty good start.
It's actually, we complained about, I mean, we've been celebrating the soft start that this team has. They play the Bulls, they play the Wizards, they play in the first 10 games, right?
Correct.
They play the Bulls, they play the Wizards, they play Utah, they play some other dog team too.
They play the Nets twice.
The Nets, yeah. But you're getting them while they still have hope. While the players don't realize, they may realize, but they're like, yeah, they think we're going to be bad. You just watch. We'll show them. And so they haven't completely quit on themselves and each other and life and hope and all that stuff. In some ways, getting bad teams early is a disservice.
No, you'd rather them when they're really focused on the task
and
at
when
hand.
When they're really focused on the task and when management is focused on the task at hand.
All of a sudden, those hamstrings, those soft tissue muscles.
When they've disgorged some of their good players, they've gotten rid of them because you don't want to get them in the way of tanking. I still think big night for Ja. Grizz win. I hope that tomorrow
we're playing some highlights.
We're going to be playing some highlights. That's what I'm wishing for. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John Wednesday. It means Norton Hurd will join the program. Kevin Cerrito will join me today as my company. CJ Hurt joins us during hour number two. It's Wednesday, so that means Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow for Now Work is Done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.